Let us pray together as we prepare to hear God's holy word. Holy God, your blessings are abundant and your wisdom exceeds our grasp. Fill us with your spirit as we hear your word this day, that we may be justice seekers and peacemakers, sharing your love among those who are forgotten, weak, or persecuted, and revealing to all your glory. Amen. Today's scripture readings offer us new rules for living as we consider the requirements of God to live out the commandment to love one another. Both readings give us insight into the phrase, walking the talk. Our first scripture reading is from Micah in chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. And the second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, commonly known as the Beatitudes. Let us listen to the reading, the words of our Lord. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised when Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. And what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This ends the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Well, both texts we read this morning offer us direct and indirect instructions as to how we are called to live our lives as those who claim to be followers of Christ. Neither text indicate that it is easy, just required. Now, it might be good to know that communities since the creation of the world have sought to understand exactly what God would require of them within their life. And our basis for meeting God's requirements does not come from a place of fear, but from a place of gratitude. The promises found through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and in the waters of baptism is that God claims us as his beloved, regardless of what we have done and long before we claim God. So it is out of gratitude for the grace and love given to us that we seek to meet the requirements or expectations or desires of God and strive to live out our lives as a reflection of our gratitude for God's love that we have received. Even the prophet Micah wondered what the requirements of God were for his children, and the response given to him remains at the heart of a right relationship with God. The setting of our passage in Micah is a courtroom, and God's people are on trial for the choices that they have made that have brought them out of right relationship with God. Now, as a prosecutor, one would expect God to be expressing anger as the case unfolds, but instead, words of heartfelt bewilderment and pleading are proclaimed. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. In this phrase, we pick up the undertones of divine frustration, followed by a brief summary of their story, the Exodus event. Because it seems that the people have forgotten about their story, and in doing so, have forgotten their saving God. And as a result of their forgetfulness, God's people have fallen out of right relationship with God and with one another because of a lack of mindfulness. They no longer seem centered in or on their God. The beauty of this exchange between God and Micah reflects the desire of God to understand God's people. It truly is remarkable that God shows an openness to engage in dialogue with people, especially when we consider all the other religions that are practiced around the world, with gods that don't seem interested in the concerns of their people. God interacts with the people. God interacts with us about our concerns. God does not dismiss their complaining as inappropriate or bring them into court because they have dared to question God. Actually, it's quite the contrary. God develops reasons as to why they should be appreciative of God's activity in their story, even though life has been difficult. On behalf of God's people, Micah asks God what they must do to maintain a right relationship with God. Do they need to sacrifice more? Do the people need to give more offering? Or perhaps God would be pleased if God's children engaged in better worship. 700 years before Christ, Israel was in the middle of a revival. The temple was crowded, giving was over budget for the first time in years, but Micah knew that something was still wrong. Israel was arrogant and uncaring. They are religious, but their idea of what religion means is far from God's hopes for them. They think that religion consists of worshiping correctly and staying away from those who do not. It seems that not much has changed in our world. It's just like humanity to try to put a number or a price on a relationship with God. If we give more, God will love us more. If we stick to tradition in our worship, God will be pleased. And if we somehow remain perfect, we will finally have a right relationship with God. But God says no to all these suggestions and responds to Micah with God's requirement for humanity. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Three very specific ways to remain in a right relationship with God. So why don't we do it? Why is it difficult to engage in any of these requirements made by God to his people? Is it that we have become skilled at talking the talk but not walking the walk? Does your relationship with God include any expectations? This text from Micah says yes, not as means to be saved, but as a response to God's saving grace in our lives. The gift of God's love and our receiving it creates an expectation that we will do our very best to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And yet the reality is that God's people have difficulty maintaining their covenant with God, even when the expectations are spelled out for us. Because of our sin, we create division within our communities and congregations. We ignore opportunities to engage in justice, probably because we don't understand what God means by justice. We deny kindness to our neighbor, and we refuse to have an attitude of reverence and openness to God. Utilizing the courtroom language, you could say that God's people disobey their probation and continue to engage in sin that places them out of right relationship with the God who created them. And yet the beautiful thing is that God does not give up on God's people. God extends God's love so far that God sends his son, Jesus Christ, to live with God's people on earth. Created fully human and fully divine, Jesus Christ offers a living example of God's desire for each of us to fulfill the expectations to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Which means that if God hasn't given up on any of us when we move out of right relationship with God, then we cannot give up on others, even when they make mistakes. So rather than someone fearing they might be judged when walking into the sanctuary, we strive to create an atmosphere of loving welcome. Jesus Christ had something to say about the requirements for Christian living, too. And in our text from Matthew, Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount, commonly called the Beatitudes. It is as if Jesus understands that God's people need more examples, more information to enact God's requirements spoken to Micah. And just like Jesus, his blessings turn our world upside down. Beatitude is a state of pure joy. These beatitudes shared by Jesus are 8 blessings given as instruction to God's people. And when we read the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew, we are struck by the poetic beauty and at the same time overwhelmed by the perceived foolishness for the world in which we live. We admire the blessings, but we fear the implications of putting the words into actual practice. We live in a time when blessings are given to those who succeed, often at the expense of others. To be poor in spirit, peaceful, merciful, and meek will get you nowhere in a culture that is grounded in competition and in fear. And as this is reflected in our culture today, it was also reflected in many ways in Matthew's culture. The congregation, the people listening to Jesus, were faced with both external and internal problems. Externally, they were in tension with leaders of traditional Judaism regarding the degree to which the community was faithfully Jewish. And internally, some people were in tension with one another, causing some to drift away. Sounds like a current description of any mainline Protestant church nowadays, perhaps even ours. Tensions rise, and for whatever reason, people and families drift away. So it may be Jesus's purpose through the Beatitudes to remind God's people that when life gets difficult, and it may be difficult now, that those who faithfully endure can look forward to the return of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of God's kingdom. The Beatitudes are not direct calls to action, but are promises. Because we are saved by God, we receive divine promises of care during conflict and difficulty in our lives. The Beatitudes are our blessings, and God's commandments to Micah become our response. Because we are secure in our future that God will bless us, we are asked to do justice, to exhibit loving kindness, and to walk humbly with God. This is the way in which we can connect these two readings of text from the Bible. Like I said, often when we hear the word justice, we envision the need to become political and to engage in demonstrations, marches, and sit-ins. And this is not entirely the case. Justice is a virtue to take care of all members of the community. Loving kindness involves both affection and ethical love of a neighbor, and to walk humbly with God implies an attitude of reverence and openness, coupled with a sense of personal integrity and honesty. These three commandments are reflected in Jesus' commandment to love one another as I have loved you. And because we are loved by God through Jesus Christ, we can then invite the Holy Spirit to equip us to engage in acts of justice, kindness, and humbleness before God. As a result, we are able to extend love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe that's what true blessing is, and perhaps it is us that it can extend God's blessings to all as we draw together as a family of God, seeing each other as God's beloved children, meeting each other at the points of our brokenness, and conveying to each other God's promises of regard and worth. We are worthy of blessing, for God Almighty has created us and called us so. And we hear and receive the blessing of God as we gather to worship God with our whole selves. And yet there are people near and far who still have not heard the blessing of God that has been given to them. And so we have the privilege and joy to ensure that they hear this blessing. And the opportunity they have to hear this blessing comes in each moment that we are able to offer justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with God. So in God's name, we do strive to meet the requirements of Christian living, knowing that we are not perfect at doing that, but we can remain faithful to practice. To God be the glory. Amen. I invite you to stand and join with me in our next song of praise, titled Offering, as we consider ourselves as being an offering to our King.